Hi, listeners. Welcome to Wonderful.
What? That's not us.
Oh, sorry. I got it wrong. You're listening to Judge John Hodgman. Song Exploder.
This is not Song. Do you want me to just tell you?
I need a hint.
Okay. Large thing you step on.
Slugcast. Welcome to Slugcast. This week, the banana slug. Not as delicious as it sounds.
Oh, no.
Trust me, I know.
I quit.
It's just me left on Slugcast.
Hi, welcome to Bigfoot and Bob.
Bigfoot and Bob. Yeah. Which one am I again?
You're Layla.
I'm Layla.
And I'm Ryan.
And you're Ryan.
And you're Layla. Okay.
And you're the listener.
I'm the one on pain meds. I don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, we have an exciting announcement here on Slug. I mean, oops, Bigfoot and Bob.
Yeah, sorry the episode's a little late this week. I actually, on our regular recording time, had a follow-up appointment with my doctor. I got a surgery to put my outsides back on the insides. Not as bad as it sounds.
Because Ryan had a hernia.
Sure, I mean, if you want to say it on air and tell everybody.
I don't see why not. I was on Twitter and Justin McElroy was talking about his vasectomy, so I think it's open season.
That's fair. Hey, we're jockstrap buddies.
Oh, no. Yeah, turns out Ryan is really bad at not whining when he's recovering from surgery.
That's true. I turn into a gigantic baby.
Yeah. And I have to drive everywhere because he can't drive because his whole crotchular region is...
My whole shit's jacked up, all right?
You just can't do anything. I'm ready for this to be over. Let's talk about slugs. I like slugs. I like nudibranches. I like crawly things with a big foot. Oh, slugs have big feet just like Bigfoot.
Hey.
Slugs. But we're not just talking about slugs this week as much as I'd like to. We're also talking about some other fun stuff, like Ryan's surgery, which, for me, brought up some really interesting horror topics. And let me just say that when we were in the hospital and they were prepping him for his surgery, I did throw up almost on top of the anesthesiologist.
I love your moment of thought to try and figure out a more eloquent way to say throw up.
I barfeted. Ryan did not, even though he was the one getting poked with needles.
Yeah.
It's just because veins on the back of your hand really gross me out. Like, I'm not easily grossed out, but hospital smells, plus I forgot to eat because Ryan wasn't allowed to eat.
Is that a contributing factor to your weird old people thing?
Old people are gross. And it's not because of the big veins on the backs of their hands. It's because all their skin's falling off and they're not the same size they used to be.
It must be easy to IV an old person.
Oh, I hate it.
Probably do it from across the room. Just like a dart.
No. Okay, Ryan's banned from speaking for a couple minutes while I recover myself.
That's pretty inconvenient.
But there are some body horror things that I love. And one of those is something that I actually found out that I shared a love of with our good horror and monster friend, Bogleech, who we did a whole episode on way back when, like 4 months ago, which I'm realizing now we should have called our podcast episode Bigfoot and Bog.
Oh,
because
that would have been pretty good.
We're going to have to do another feature on Bogleech this Halloween so we can use that title. But our good Boggy pal, who is also a fan of slugs and other crawly things, shares the love of this manga, which I bet everyone listening to this knows what a manga is, and I'm not going to get into it.
Yeah, you nerds.
You fucking nerds. Because I don't think I have to explain it. And it's called Frankenfran, and it's hilarious, and it's about a lady who does all kinds of fun and outlandish surgeries. Alterations.
It's just a wacky comic about this lady who does these weird surgeries. She's so random.
It's like a macabre horror comedy thing. I mean, there's a sequence in one of my absolute all-time favorite stories out of Frankenfran where cockroaches build a civilization and their technology advances far more rapidly time-wise than human technology, and they're still cockroaches, and it's amazing, and it's very well drawn, and I get a kick out of it. when she starts replacing people's heads with other people's heads. And
I love, oh my God. Do you remember the episode of King of Queens where Paul Blart takes the two ladies' brains out and switches them?
Classic. What are you talking about? I've never seen King of Queens.
Just talking about, you know, one of those fun, random
surgery
series, you know?
Well,
there's so many of them now.
Look. You don't have to. Our podcast is about monsters and the macabre.
Deborah, my pancreas.
Do it again.
Deborah. I'm losing blood.
One more time.
Deborah, I need a sharper scalpel.
Anyway.
You know? That show?
Please let me.
Ray Romano?
Please let me. You have to let me do the show.
Okay.
If you keep saying it, then I'm never, ever, ever going to be able to do my thing.
You're right. That's fair. Deborah!
Oh, no! I hate you. You're banned again.
No, I'm done.
One of my actual all-time favorite and most visceral surgical scenes in any movie is the thing in The Matrix where he drops the bug on the guy's stomach and it goes inside of him.
Oh, yeah, the bug.
The bug?
The bug. It goes in his belly button.
And I think that's a clear example of how The Matrix really isn't a horror movie, but damn.
It's got some horror elements in it for sure. I'm sure we could do a whole episode on it, but, like, he touches the mirror and the mirror gets on his hand and it's liquid and it goes up his body and into his mouth and he's like screaming and it's all.
Or the part in The Mummy with all the scarab beetles that go up inside his skin. Mm-hmm.
Well, The Mummy, I think, is like an action horror comedy.
That thriller.
Movie was a lot of things.
It was. The Mummy is great. We should do it.
The Mummy.
This is our planning episode where we talk about movies that we could do whole episodes on.
Hi, guys. Welcome to our second channel, Bigfoot and Bob 2, where we talk about the episodes that we might do in the future. No, but The Mummy has some strong points, and it's got some really weak points.
No, boo.
It's got some really racist parts.
Yes.
There were so many white Egyptians in that movie.
Yes.
Wild.
Not as many as any of the like biblical movies set in Egypt.
Oh, let my people go. Please.
It's okay for you because you're Jewish.
Yeah.
I can't say that. I'm closer to a pharaoh.
Jesus. So anyway, you were saying.
Surgery and surgical procedures are a huge source of horror because it's a horrifying thing to do to a person because you're going into someone's body, which is their most private and personal possession that keeps them alive, and you're jumbling around in there with your hands doing God knows what while they can't do anything, and you're mixing it up, and you might be putting stuff in, you might be taking stuff out, you might be tying their colon in knots.
Mm.
And that's pretty scary. There are all sorts of horror movies like American Mary, which is a horror movie, rape revenge, surgical fantasy.
Hard Candy?
Is Hard Candy about surgery? I've never seen it.
It's, no, but there's a surgery scene. There's a castration scene.
Okay. There's The Reanimator.
Mm.
Any Frankenstein-based movie, basically, is a surgery horror.
Mm-hmm.
And I quite enjoy a lot of the different Frankenstein retellings. One of my favorites that I come back to every Halloween is Frankenweenie.
Frankenweenie is awesome.
Everyone should watch it. It can be funny, and it can be completely gruesome torture porn. It can be everything in between. Sometimes
Wall-E?
It can be both. Wall-E is not a movie about surgery.
I think it's a Frankenstein retelling, if you look at it.
I think you're full of bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah, that could be it.
Yeah, you think?
Deborah.
Okay, fine. You do your thing since you're clearly done with my thing. God, I'm going over here. I'm going over in my corner.
As big a fan as I am of surgery.
Clearly.
Yeah.
You've got the stitches to show.
We did promise the people Alaskan cryptids.
Did we?
Yes.
Do we keep our promises? I forget.
We try. We sure durn try.
Hi, this is Dean, and we're Podscare. We're a podcast about podcasts. I know, meta, right? Are you into true crime, relationships, movies, the supernatural, the cryptozoological, the strange and obscure? Well, we don't do that podcast, but we know who does, and we talk to them for you. Join us each week at podscure.com, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts. As long as it's not Spotify, because, well, go ask Spotify. In the meantime, pet dogs, eat bacon, give hugs. Love ya. Bye.
I decided to go more of the indigenous peoples of the Great North. So mostly Inuit and Aleutian, but there are many different tribes and cultures of people that we can't get into on an individual basis.
It's a big place, the North.
There's a lot. And we're basically flying overhead and picking out a couple of things.
Like slugs in an airplane.
You know, I love your metaphors.
It's one of the reasons I fell in love with you, kid. That and the slugs.
Here's looking at your slugs, kid.
Oh, don't look at my slugs. That's embarrassing.
No. My slugs are shiny.
Oh, no.
And it's picture day.
Oops.
Oops, all slugs. What do you mean?
Go.
Okay. the first one I want to talk about is the Kalapalik. And it is a long-haired, green-skinned, long-nailed creature that lives in the Arctic waters.
Sounds like me.
She wears a pouch on her back for stealing children.
The Krampus of the North.
Well, they need a lot more Krampuses because it's always Christmas time.
That's not how it works.
I'm pretty sure.
It's
I'm
cold,
sure
but
it's how it works. The point is, she specifically goes after children who go out on the ice alone.
For the listeners at home, Ryan is doing this thing with his hands
I'm
and fingers.
I'm making creepy hands.
You look like a praying mantis frantically waving.
I'm a praying frantic.
Oh, God.
It's grabby hands. It's creepy hands.
I'm going back to my slug hole.
So every culture has a child stealer, basically. And
real or not.
Usually both. The Kalapalik can, it's said, be heard making either like a humming noise or a clicking noise or a tapping on the ice from below.
Ooh,
yes.
Stuff below the ice where you like wipe away the layer of snow or frost and then there's a face. That shit always gets me. Oh, your creepy hands are going nuts. There's not enough room in the studio for you to not be pinching my shoulder.
So the thought is perhaps that this was a story to keep children from playing at the edges of the ice alone.
Which is very sensible.
And it could be that that cracking or tapping sound is the sound of the ice beginning to crack beneath them to warn children away.
That's smart as shit.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it when a monster has a great practical basis.
Mm-hmm. It's like the pre-modern equivalent of, you know, an invisible fence and an electric collar for your children.
What? No one does that.
Sort of.
That.
I don't know. Who's to say what's effective,
it's
not effective, child abuse? Anyway,
not you.
Kalapalik. Very cool. A lot of, I found, the northern cryptids were about keeping people from doing things that they shouldn't be doing. Because if you think about it, if you live nomadically or otherwise in the great frozen north, you need to be very careful because it's so dangerous. There's also the Amarok, which is a giant lone wolf who eats people who are stupid enough to hunt alone at night.
So just a wolf.
A big one.
Oh, like a very large wolf.
Actually, a lot of the cryptids I found were also just like very large versions of animals.
Is there a really big penguin?
No, I did not find one of those. One that's
well, wait,
just
that wouldn't make sense anyway.
No, they don't have penguins.
Oh my God, I'm so stupid.
It's okay.
Send me to the slug pit.
There's one that's just a huge mammoth-type creature, one that's a huge flounder, one that's a huge aquatic rodent with a prehensile tail.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it flips boats.
Oh, yeah, I'm back in it.
In terms of keeping people from doing stuff they're not supposed to do, there's the Amakuk, which is a huge slimy creature. Instead of legs, it's got four human arms and hands.
Yeah.
It eats fishermen out alone or people bathing in the sea.
Yeah. Can someone draw this for us, guys? Because that's amazing.
You can look it up. There's a couple photos, but like these are some really old myths and I love it so much.
I really, really appreciate monsters, mythical creatures, and cryptids that have a very practical, grounded basis where you can sort of logically track where that would have come from, as opposed to many of our European and North American mythical monsters and cryptids, which are just like drunk people seeing owls and getting scared.
That's fair. I think there are cryptids in every culture that are just drunk people seeing things wrong. For example,
aliens, alien abductions.
The one with the best name out of all of them, the Aziwagumki Mukti.
Nice.
Which is a walrus dog.
Yes.
It's a big walrus with, some accounts I read said it had the face of a whale, but all the drawings were the face of a dog and also like the four legs of a dog.
Oh, hell yes.
Yeah.
Can you imagine a walrus that you can walk? That's so good.
And it has this big walrus tail that it could use to destroy ships.
Yes. Oh, so it's very, very large also.
No, it's not very, very large. It's very strong.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. It's right. Possible that this was just drunk people looking at a walrus from a distance, is what I'm saying.
Do you think that walrus has legs? Does it walrus look like it has legs to you? Holy shit. And then their ship sinks. Not because they're drunk, but because the walrus destroyed it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to ask about one of my all-time favorite cryptid / mythical creatures, which is the werewolf.
Ah.
I've managed to find one in almost every culture that has any kind of canid.
So there is a werewolf-ish, but it's a little different.
Uh-oh.
They have the Adlit, which is looks werewolf-like, like a hybrid of a wolf and a human. But
acceptable.
But the story is that they came from a union between an Inuit woman and a giant dog.
Yeah, a lot of werewolves are not as exciting as a man with the head of a wolf who leaves fish on your windowsill, but a lot of them do come from just that most lazy of explanations.
As the story goes, she gave birth to a litter of 10. There were five were dogs, and five were these human-dog hybrid adlets.
Hmm.
Apparently, she set them adrift in the ocean,
really?
And they floated to the other continents and created European people.
I guess you
didn't see that one coming, did you?
I was gonna say something about humans only having two nipples to feed a litter of 10, but yeah,
that's really
this one,
something, huh?
This one might be true. That's fucking amazing.
But the idea is that in the north, the adlets, I guess, reproduced and they roam in packs.
All right.
So that's pretty cool, at least.
The ones she didn't send to
friends.
Become Europeans.
I don't know. It's a little foggy.
That's so good.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you about white people.
Oh, white people. I know how that happened. I get you.
This is why you don't have sex with dogs.
There's a couple more cryptids that are similar to other ones that we've either talked about on the show or sort of in general consciousness. A big one is the Nukluk, which translated means man of the bush.
Like me.
Ah, I see, like me, you are a man of the bush.
An aficionado, so to speak.
A connoisseur.
Haha, we're 12.
It's basically a Bigfoot, but not as big, and sort of more Neanderthal-like. Mm. This one seems very likely to be a dude. He's like 5.5 feet tall, humanoid.
Directly translated means Carl. Did you say 5 feet tall?
Yeah.
Oh, so he's a little foot.
No, that's a dinosaur. I know that much.
Through your studies?
My studies. Yeah, this one came about in the 60s. I think it was probably Europeans visiting the area and being like, oh, that's a monster. But sir,
you were descended from...
It's a dude. I guess when you're descended from wolf people or dog people, everything's a monster. There's also the angioa, which I felt
was... That's a disease, right?
Yes. It's a heart disease. I felt it was kind of similar to the Loch Ness Monster, but like a whale version.
And also an open ocean.
No, not the open ocean.
Oh?
Mm-hmm. In keeping with the theme of giant animals, it's a giant whale, 50 to 60 feet, pitch black in color.
Oh, hell yeah, goth whale.
Mm-hmm. Kills kayakers.
Yes.
Flips boats.
Yes.
Type of thing.
I kill kayakers.
Mm-hmm. And it lives in Dubont Lake in Nunavut, Canada.
Fuck yes. Mm-hmm. Goth lake whale. I can really get behind this.
There's some really good ones in here, huh?
Oh, goth lake whale.
There's the Tematuyuk, which there's not a whole lot about his monster form, but he tends to befriend infants in human form.
Oh.
He takes on the form of sort of like a fisherman, maybe, and befriends babies, then stabs them in the head with a needle or a straw and drinks their blood.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's what we have about that. And I'm done.
Sometimes he'll also, like, befriend the mom, but then when she's not looking, take the baby away to his lair. And
oh, that was great audio.
Yeah. You know, once a week, mouth
awesome.
Sounds.
Awesome, awesome, awesome.
Yeah, you know, they've also got various sea monsters, serpents.
Yeah, yeah.
Stuff like that.
Yeah.
And that's all I got.
Awesome.
There are actually many, many more of them.
Well, I don't doubt.
But they start to bleed into one another. I thought I'd hit kind of a greatest hits.
That's good. I love that goth lake whale. That's very good. I love finding out where Europeans come from.
Mm-hmm.
You learn something every day.
The goth lake whale is the angioa.
Angioa.
Mm-hmm.
Also known as the goth
lake
whale.
Lake.
Man, if I was going to go down, that's how I fucking want to go.
Right? 60-foot whale, eat me.
Well, you're pandering to a very specific internet audience there, Ryan.
Welcome. Welcome to Bigfoot and Bob, a podcast by and for people who want to get et by monsters.
Welcome to Big Mouth and Bob. Big Throat and Big Stomach and Bob.
Oh, no.
Yum, 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 yum. Okay, if you had to be in that situation, do you want to get et or be the et-er?
Oof.
This is a personality test, just as important, if not more important, than any bullshit astrology test.
Yeah, it's rough, because if I'm getting et, I think it's going to be pretty quick. But if I'm etting, it's going to be a long process. Give me a fork. I'll get started.
No, you have to swallow people whole. That's like
I
the
can't
entire...
do that. I don't have the ability.
It's in this situation, which assumes that either you're real big or you found a very small person.
Why are you trying to turn me into some degenerate?
The internet wants to know.
The internet does not want to know.
The internet always wants to know. Give me a straight answer. This isn't your Hogwarts house test.
I mean, in terms of not dying, I guess I'd rather et.
All right. All right. Now we know.
But in terms of retaining my soul, I'd rather get et.
Hmm. Debatable.
But overall, I think I come down on the side of et.
So you're an et-er.
Uh-huh.
Personally, I'm almost certain that I would be an et-e, which may surprise some of our listeners. Yes.
Turns out we're the perfect match.
Ew. You can't et me.
That was rude. I never thought I'd be, like, offended that someone didn't want me to eat them.
No, et.
I know we're doing a thing.
Speaking of Hogwarts houses, it took me so long to
Are
get...
Are we speaking of Hogwarts houses?
I had mentioned it.
Oh.
Ryan is one of those people where if you give him, like, any kind of fun, stupid personality test or whatever, he refuses to pick an answer.
No.
But we finally realized that he's Gryffindor. Although if there was a fifth house for rude, joyless idiots.
I'm a muggle.
Yeah. Oh, that's it.
Ask me a question. No, I'll answer you straight.
Okay. What's your MBTI?
What? Is it the subway in Boston? I guess I'm the red line.
Let's see. Would you be an airbender, an earthbender, a firebender, or a waterbender?
Oh, cabbage salesman.
Fuck you.
No, ask me another one.
Okay. All right. Calm down, Layla. If, as in the Golden Compass, you had a demon, what would it be?
A human being.
Fuck you. Fuck yourself. Fuck everything about you.
Go on, give me one more.
What's your sign?
Ophiuchus. It's the new one. It's the snake
hunter. Yeah, I hate you. You're an asshole and I hate you. What's your Chinese zodiac?
Year of the Emperor.
Ugh! Could kill you.
I love you.
Now, I want to tell people all of mine, so you have to ask me.
Okay, what is your sign from American Sign Language?
Eat shit.
I don't know that one. Can you teach me? Sorry, what's your zodiac sign?
Scorpio.
Nice. How about your Chinese zodiac?
Dog.
Your favorite zodiac killer?
Ted Cruz.
Fair enough. Everybody's got a favorite zodiac killer.
And the answers to all the others are Ravenclaw, Airbender, and Stop.
What was Stop?
Sign.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's nice. Pretty good, huh? I'm glad you hadn't heard that one before.
We have fun.
Well, I think it's just about time to wrap things up on our Slugcast. Oops.
Oh, you keep doing that.
What a Freudian slip.
Freudian?
Slugian.
A quick shout out to Audible for sponsoring this program. You can go to audibletrial.com/bigfoot and get a free audiobook, for example.
Well, just off the top of my phone, I mean head, there's The Slug That Saved Christmas by Clifford James Hayes, Slugs and Snails and Puppy Dog Tales by Matthew Cash. I can't vouch for any of these books, because I've never read them or heard of them. There is an article from the Washington Post, Stretchy Glue Inspired by Slugs Could Be the Future of Sutures, narrated by Shamshol.
Shamshol?
Shamshol.
Awesome. You can get that and thousands of others at audibletrial.com/bigfoot. The Facebook page for Podcific Northwest is up. If you go over to facebook.com/groups/podcificnw, you can check out the community there, post a little hello, and tell us what you're up to.
If you're talking about us on Twitter, use the hashtag PodcificNW.
If you want to tweet at the show directly, we're at Bigfoot and Bob on Twitter, or you can email us some show suggestions, creepy stories, etc., bigfootandbob@gmail.com.
Tell us about the time you were abducted as a monster by a child. Wait. You know what I mean.
Yeah, you know what we mean.
One more thing. I have an exciting new announcement that doesn't involve Ryan in any way, so fans of me and not Ryan will be...
80% of the listeners.
I've got a new podcast in the works with a group of friends who are fellow dog trainers, vet techs, dog enthusiasts, and other people in the business of managing and loving and training our favorite furry friends that I will be hosting coming up very, very soon. The working title for now is Dogs! ! So keep your eyes peeled.
What did you do?
What? Sorry. Zip.
Oh, God. What's under Layla's skin suit? Find out next time on Bigfoot and Bob. And I'm Ryan. Is in here.